Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. Before we begin the Shiur, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading, and structural note in the margin. You'll notice a diamond is featured, as diamonds will appear as markings in our Gemara. They represent Brichas HaTorah and Brochos Al HaMozoin, Lefonov Ulachrov, making brochos regarding learning Torah and brochos regarding food, brochos before and brochos after. So we turn to our Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Minayin lebrichas hamozon la'achareil min haTorah. What is the source for making a brocha, which we call benching or benediction after meals, following a meal? Where is there a source in the Torah for that? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, v'yochalta v'savata uveirachta. That you eat, are satisfied, and then you make a brocha. Minayin lebrichas haTorah lefoneil min haTorah. Now, from where do we know that there is a blessing for Torah learning before you learn Torah? Shenemar, kishem Hashem ekra, havu goydel leilokenu. To appreciate this source, we look into Rashi, across from here, kishem Hashem ekra, kishebo Moshe liftoyach bedivrei shira, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to open his remarks of song, which for our purposes is parallel to words of Torah. Omer lehem Yisrael, ani avorech tchila, I will bless first. And that's kishem Hashem ekra. Ekra is in the first person future. I will bless. V'atem anu acharai omein. And then you will answer the response of omein to my brocha. Kishem Hashem ekra is bivracha, when I call out the name of Hashem through a blessing. Atem, you, havu, godel elkeinu, the second part of the pasuk, you will then express the grandeur of the Almighty's name, be'omein, through that expression. So we now see a source for the opening bracha to the study of Torah, from this pasuk, kishem Hashem ekra. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, lomadnu lebirchas haTorah la'achareha, min birchas hamozon mikal v'chomer. Up till now, we've discussed birchas haTorah lefoneha. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that we can learn that there is a final bracha, and it was after the Torah learning, from the fact that there is a final bracha after eating, using kal v'chomer logic. The Gemara will expound on this shortly. And point number two, ubirchas hamozon lefoneha, we will find a source for making a bracha before eating, min birchas haTorah mikal v'chomer, using birchas haTorah, where there already is a source for a pre-learning bracha, through kal v'chomer logic. In other words, from birchas haTorah lefoneha, using a kal v'chomer, we will derive birchas hamozon lefoneha. And here the Gemara explains. Birchas haTorah l'achareha, the fact that there is a need for a bracha after learning Torah. For example, we have this when there's a public Torah reading. So a person gets called to the Torah, he makes a bracha before the reading. And then after the reading, there is also a bracha. Now, we know this, that there is a bracha after the Torah experience from Birchas hamozon mikal v'chomer as follows: Uma mozoin she'ein ton lefonov ton lachrov. Mind you, food that doesn't have a Torah source for a pre-eating bracha, yet food has a post a source for a post-eating experience. Torah shetu'una lefoneha, Torah which does have a pre-Torah learning source, enodin shetu'una lachra, then certainly there will be a need for a post-learning experience. So through kal v'chomer, from food, we come to a need for a post-Torah learning bracha. Point number two, ubirchas amozon lefoneha, that food requires a bracha before eating, min birchas haTorah mikal v'chomer. We'll derive that from birchas haTorah. Uma Torah she'ein tuna lachra, mind you, Torah that doesn't have a source for a post-Torah learning experience bracha, tuna lefoneha, but has a source for a pre-Torah learning experience. Mazon shuton lacharov, food which actually does have a source for a post-eating experience, enodin she ton lefonov, certainly will have a necessity of a bracha before the eating. At this point, the Gemara challenges the kal v'chomer logic that Rabbi Yochanan presented on the two points, ika lemifrach. We can question or repudiate this. Ma lemozon shekein nehene. You can't learn Torah from mozon, because mozon is something you have physical benefit from. So that certainly requires a bracha, which we can't say the same for Torah learning. And likewise, you can't learn from Torah to mozon. Uma l'toira shekein chaye oilam. Torah provides permanent reward in the world to come, providing massive merit to an individual. So that is something that generates the need for a bracha. You can't say the same thing for food. The Oid Tanan. And furthermore, we have a Tanaic source that says Al Hamozon Mevorech Lachrov, the Eno Mevorech Lefonov. We saw by the Valkeri that he makes a Brocha only afterwards, because there is a source for that that's a Torah requirement, but he doesn't make a Brocha beforehand. So you see that a Brocha before food is not something that you can say is derived through a kal v'chomer from some other source. Because if it was derived through a kal v'chomer, so it would have the same status as the bracha for food afterwards. It would be considered something with a solid source. Being that we see that we compromise with regard to the Baal Keri on the bracha lefonav, so it must be that it's not something that has a source. So we can't say it's derived from a kal v'chomer as we try to do. Tiufta, this is a repudiation of that which Rabbi Yochanan tried to conclude. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note where we feature triangles in our Gemara. You'll see Rabbi Yehuda with a triangle, and a number of lines later, Rabbi Lozer. This topic is Sofek Korah Kriyashma Sofek Lo Kora. There is if a doubt arises concerning one's having said Kriyashma or not, what does one do? So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Sofek Kora Kriyashma Sofek Lo Kora Einoy Chozer V'Korei. He does not repeat or does not say the Kriyashma. Sofek Omar Emes V'Atziv Sofek Loy Omar. If he is in doubt as to whether he said Emes V'Yatziv or not, that's the bracha after Kriyashma, which emphasizes the topic of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And if he's in doubt whether he said that, Chozer V'Oimer Emes V'Yatziv. The Gemara asks, my time, why this distinction? Answer, Kriyashma Dorabonon. Emes V'Yatziv Doraisa. Kriyashma is only a rabbinic requirement, which may come as a surprise to some of you, even though we've made reference to this in one of our Tosfos Shiurim, where this shita was cited, but here it is in the Gemara itself, that Kriyashma is only rabbinic, Emes Viatziv is Doraisa. So that if you have a doubt concerning something that's rabbinic, so you don't have to make good on it. You don't have to repeat or go back and say it. But if something is a Torah doubt, like is the case in Emes Viatziv, and you might be asking, what's the Doraisa of Emes Viatziv? The answer to that is that there is a mitzvah Doraisa to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. And in Emes Viatziv, there is extensive reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks, how can you say that Kriya Shema is derabbanan when the Pasuk says, Ubishachbecha uvukumecha? That seemingly indicating that you shall recite Kriya Shema when you go to sleep and when you get up. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye says, Rav Yehuda doesn't understand Ubishachbecha uvukumecha as referring to Kriya Shema at all. Ahu b'divrei Torah ksiv. That is an instruction, a command regarding the study of Torah, that you shall study Torah every evening and every morning. In other words, every day, throughout the day, a person has to be engaged in some level of Torah learning. Tanan. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source, and once again, you will see that we'll be challenging that which was said before. Balkeri Mahare Belibo Vienu Mavorech, a Balkeri is someone that only imagines or in his heart he says the Brocha Vienu Mavorech Lolo Fonev Lolachrel regarding the Birchas Kriyashma. So he's Mahare Kriyashma, but when it comes to the Birchas Kriyashma, he doesn't even Mahare, not before nor after. The Alhamazon, Mevorech Le'achrov, V'eino Mevorech Le'fonov. And regarding Birchas Hamazon, so he says the Birchas Hamazon afterwards, but not before. V'i Salka Daitoch Emes V'yatziv Doraisa, if one would think that, like Rav Yehuda said, that Emes V'yatziv, which is the Brocha after Kriyashma, so Livroch Le'achrov, so the Balkeri should be Maharer, at least Maharer in that Brocha. The Gemara answers that, strictly speaking, Emes Viatziv, which contains Zichiros Yitzias Mitzrayim, is Doraisa. My time of Mavorech, why does one make the Brocha after Kriyashma, Im Mishum Yitzias Mitzrayim, if it's for the purpose of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ha Itgar Lei B'Kriyashma? He has already mentioned it in Kriyashma, because the source said that the Balkeri is Maharer B'Kriyashma, and in the Kriyashma you have the recitation of Emes Viatziv. If you have the third paragraph of Kriyashma, Parsha of Tzitzis has in it a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So in the case of this particular source, he already mentioned Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara, but in the event that he didn't say Kriya Shema, or maybe is in doubt whether he said Kriya Shema, so the need for saying Emes Viatziv is Doraisa. Just in the case that he definitely said the Kriya Shema, like is this what is contained in this source, so there is no then the need for Emes Viatziv as a Doraisa requirement falls away. The question is, v'neima ha v'lo liboy ha. Well, why then does the Balkeri not say the Emes Viatziv and no need for saying Kriyashma? The Gemara answers, Kriyashma adifa. Kriyashma has an added feature. In other words, if we have to choose for the Balkeri what to say, we would say better for him to maharir Kriyashma than the Brocha. Why? The is ba tarti. It has, the Kriyashma has two elements. It has Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it also has Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim. But the main point, just to review, the main point as far as review is concerned, if you're in doubt vis-a-vis Kriyat Shema versus Emes V'Yatziv. So Emes V'Yatziv is something that reflects Zichiras Yesias Mitzrayim, and therefore it is Doraisa. But to say that Kriyat Shema per se, forgetting the third parsha for the time being, and by the way, this is a day that is mentioned in the Tosfos, Kriyat Shema per se is Darabonan. The Gemara continues. V'Rabbi Elazar Omar, Sofek Kora Kriyat Shema, Sofek Loi Kora, Choizer V'Korei Kriyat Shema. You can see how he, Rabbi Elazar, disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on this point, and that's why you see with our markings we've dashed underlined Kriyat Shema, and we have also squiggle underlined the expressions Eino Chozer by Rabbi Yehuda and Chozer by Rabbi Elazar to heighten the point of Machloikis. So with regard to Rabbi Elazar, Kriyat Shema is Doraisa. As you can see, he says that if there's a matter of doubt, you have to go back and say the Kriyat Shema. Another issue is Sofek Hispalel, Sofek Lo Hispalel. And notice we have a number one over here. This is because here, Rabbi Elazar represents the first of two opinions regarding Shmoyne Esrei and a doubt whether that was recited. So if there's a doubt whether he was Mispalel or not, Eino Chozer U'Mispalel. He doesn't repeat the Shmoyne Esrei. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ulevai Shiyispalel Odom Kol Hayom Kulo. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, if there is an issue of doubt, go ahead and daven again. Go ahead and daven, even if it's a matter of davening again, because it should only be that people would preoccupy themselves with davening all day. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, and we also have a marking here. The double underline you see featured is going to be explained under our Mivneh heading, but in the meantime, they know say, one, Omeid Bitfila V'nizkar Shispalel, and that means he is standing and saying Shmoneh Esrei, and he remembers in the middle that he davened already. Number two, Nichnas L'Beis HaKnesses U'Motzot Tzibur Mispalel, a person enters a shul and sees people davening, what should he do? And as far as the structure is concerned, the double underline emphasizes Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel addresses these two cases that were featured under our no say. The Gemara, the Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. The reason that the Vav appears Vi Omar indicates that this name appeared before, so it might be noteworthy for some of you who are very sensitive to structure of Gemara. The triangle above that featured Rav Yehuda, in fact, the girsa on the side of the Gemara has Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, so that this would be another comment of Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, hence the vav in the word v'omar, another comment of his. In our markings, we didn't feature that, but that having been said, we have just explained why the vav appears over here. So the Omar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Hoya Oymed Bitfila V'nizkar Shispalel, person was davening, saying his Shmoneh Esrei, and remembered that he davened already. Poisek, he shall stop, Vafilu Be'emtza Brocha, even in the middle of his Brocha. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? V'Omar of Nachmon, Ki Avinon Bei Rabo Bar Avua, when we were in the Yeshiva of Rabo, Bo'on Minei, we asked of him, Hani V'nei Bei Rav, the Tou, the yeshiva students who made a mistake, umadgiri dechol b'Shabbos, and started a weekday Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos. As many of you know, there is a different text for the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei than the weekday Shmoneh Esrei. So here are people that were mentioning madkiri. Is an Aramaic word where the Zion would interchange with the Hebrew, where the Dalit would interchange with the Hebrew Zion, Umazgri, which would mean they mentioned the Chol version on Shabbos, Ma'u Shigmaru. Should they go ahead and finish their weekday version of Shmoneh Esrei? The Omar Lon, and he, that's Rabo Barvua, told us, Gomrin Kol Oysa Brocha. Well, they shall finish the Brocha that they are in the middle of. They shall finish it. And raises a question against that which was dashed underlined just two lines before, where the instruction was to stop even in the middle of a bracha. Here you see that at least finish the bracha. The Gemara says, how can you compare these cases? Hochi hashta. Hossam, in the din of Rav Nachman, which was the Shabbos day, weekday version, Shmon Esrei being recited, Gavro bar chiyuvahu, technically speaking, he should be saying a full 18 benedictions. Even though it's Shabbos, that doesn't mean that it's not the time for the 18 benedictions. Why is it that there is a shorter version of Shmona Esrei on Shabbos? In fact, there's only seven brachas. For Rabbanan hu delo atruchuhu mishum kvoi Shabbos. It's a rabbinic intervention, or a later intervention of the rabbis, to say that you don't need to say all 18 brachas on Shabbos because of, we want to honor Shabbos and spend, we'll say, more time eating meals and enjoying oneself than being preoccupied with long prayer services. Hence they reduced the number of brachas that one needs to say on the Shabbat, in the Shabbat Shmona Esrei. But the fact that he says, go ahead and finish that bracha, it's very simply because the Shmona Esrei, the 18 benedictions that are characteristic of the weekday Shmona Esrei, are also relevant to Shabbos. Aval Hocha, in the din of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Ha Tzolile, this man finished already. He remembered he already davened. He completely finished his requirements, so that the brachas that he's saying now have no relevance. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar of Yudam Shmuel Spalel the Nifnas the Basic Nesses, person who had already davened, entered a shul, Mosud Sibur Shem Spalel, and finds that you have a communal davening. Im Yochol Lechadesh Bo Dovar Yachser Vispalel, if he can add something new, a new type request, a new request, personal request in his in a Shmona Esrei, so he should daven again with this chidush, with this new text, that he's this new section or request that he adds, together with the public that is davening, the imlav, if he has nothing new to add. In other words, whatever Shmon Esri said already, he said everything that he could possibly conceive of. So, al yachzor vispalo, don't daven again. In other words, you davened already, don't daven again. If we look at these two halachas of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, and also use our markings, in the previous halacha he said, if you davened already, and we used a dot underline, v'nizkash yispalo, you saw, stop right there, don't, even in the middle of a bracha. Here you have a similar situation, man already davened, he's got nothing new to add, so don't daven again. On a very superficial level, it would seem that these halachas, if you would say one, why you might ask the question, why do I need the other bracha? In other words, the theme here is, if you davened already, don't daven again. Why do I need these two rulings? So the Gemara answers that. Utsricha, I need these two rulings. There's a nuance in each case whereby I wouldn't have been able to derive one from the other. The E Ashmina Kamaisa, had I been taught the first ruling, where he said, if you remember that you daven, stop even in the middle of a bracha, and don't continue, Hani Mili, that is true in a case where there is no upgrading, as is the case in the second halacha. What do we mean, no upgrading? That is where his Hani Mili Yochid V'Yochid, meaning his original Shmona Esrei was in a private setting, he was by himself, and his second recitation is also by himself. Continuing on Amud Beis, Oy Tzibur V'Tzibur, or his original Shmona Esrei was in a public setting, Tfilah V'Tzibur, and his second recitation, where he recalled he had already davened, was also in a public setting. So there we will tell him, stop even in the middle of a bracha, avol, yachid legabi tzibur, but case, the second case of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, where originally he davened as a private person, and his second experience, he finds himself in a public setting that we call upgrading. Public davening is of greater value than a private prayer. So yochid legabitzi, but kemandelo tzolidom. I would think maybe that's as if he didn't daven at all. So that when he enters the shul, even though when he enters the public setting and he sees them davening, we would say it's well daven under all circumstances, because whatever you did before as a private prayer is of no value. So this is your first time to experience a quality shmon esrei, komash malon. So the second halacha, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel tells us, even though it's such an upgrade, don't daven again. If you, of course, can't mechadesh, you can't say something new. So we see that having said halacha aleph of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, I wouldn't have been able on my own to figure out the nuances of halacha beis. The yashmin and hocha, and had we been taught only the second halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, the Beis Halacha, Mishum Dolo Aschilba, that's featuring a person who had davened already, entered a shul, and he didn't start anything yet. So listen, if you didn't start, and you have nothing new to add, so don't start. Abol Hasam, in the first halacha, in the Aleph Halacha, the Aschilba, we're talking about a person who had he had davened already, but when did he recount that he davened already? In the middle of his second Shmon Esrei. He started already. So I might have thought to say, well, don't stop, just finish, at least finish the bracha. Tzricha, therefore I need to be taught that even though he already started, stop even in the middle of a bracha. Something on that, had I not been taught that explicitly, I wouldn't have figured that on my own. As we continue in the Gemara, we see a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading and structural note, the diamond is featured, Shnei Deois, Al HaNichnas LeBeis HaKnesses, U'motzot Tzibur Mispalalin, Eich Yisnaig B'keshir L'Tfila Shelo. Person who walks into a shul and he sees that he's running late, in other words, he didn't daven, what should he do? Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Hanichlas lebeis haKnesses u'motzot tzibur shemispalalin. He enters a shul, and we're talking about someone who hadn't davened already. Finds the tzibur davening. Im yochol lahaschil v'ligmor ad shelo igia shliach tzibur lemoidim yispalel. If he feels that he has enough time to start and finish before the shliach tzibur, the one leading the service, reaches moidim in his the shliach tzibur version or recitation of the Shmon Esrei, so then go ahead, start and finish, and you'll be all right, because you'll finish your Shmon Esrei before the shliach tzibur gets to moidim. It's important to note that during the recitation of Modim, the entire congregation bends in recognition of that particular passage where we acknowledge the Almighty's goodness to us. So there's a public bending, and it's important for a person not to appear different than everyone else. Because if he does, he will be considered a kofar, someone who is a heretic. V'im lav, if he can't start and finish by the time the shliach tzibur gets to modim, in other words, if you have a situation where you'll be in the middle of your Shmon Esrei when everyone else is bowing and you won't be bowing, so al yispalel, don't start, don't put yourself into such a position, and you'll just have to wait till the shliach tzibur is past modim, and then you can start your Shmon Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, im yochol lahasiv ligmor ad shlo yagia shliach tzibur lekedusha yispalel. This is a tighter time frame. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, if you can start and finish, you who walked into shul late, and you need to say the Shmon Esrei, only if you can start and finish before the Shliach Tzibur gets to Kedusha, which is much earlier in the Shliach Tzibur recitation, then go ahead, start and finish your Shmoneh Esrei. V'im lav, if you won't be able to finish your personal Shmoneh Esrei by the time the Shlich Tzibur gets to Kedusha, al yispalo, then don't start. B'mai komifligi, what's the underlying point of machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Shimon Levi? Answer, more so our yochid oimer Kedusha. Rav Huna, who didn't express Kedusha as a concern, is because a Yochid, the private person in his Shmona Esrei, is able to recite the passage known as Kedusha. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Shimon Levi, is of the opinion, Ein Yochid Omer Kedusha. You cannot say the Kedusha passage in your personal Shmona Esrei, therefore, if you can't start and finish your Shmoneh Esrei before Kedusha, you're gonna miss out on reciting the Kedusha with the public. And that's your only option or opportunity to say the Kedusha. V'chein Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, minayin she'ein hayochid oimer Kedusha. This is to back up the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, who says that a private person does not say Kedusha. From where do we know that? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, v'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael. Kol Dover Sheba Kedusha, those passages that are referred to by this term, Dover Sheba Kedusha, these are passages that, by definition, lo yehe pochos me'asor, there shall be no less than 10 people. So, being that Kedusha is just that, it's Dover Sheb Kedusha, it is not something that's of a very holy nature by its content, so it is not to be recited with less than 10 people. My mashma, how do you see in this posuk, v'nikdashti besok b'neisro, a reference to 10 people? Answer, the Tani Rav Noi, Achvo de Rebbe Chiyo Bar Abo. Rav Noi teaches, Asyo Toich, through a Gezerah Shabbat, through a word comparison, we come to this conclusion. Ksiv Hocha, it says in the Pasuk we just recited, V'nigdashti B'soich B'nei Yisrael. Ksiv Hosam, Hibodlu Mitoch Ho'edo Hazos. This Pasuk of Hibodlu Mitoch Ho'edo is a reference to the Meraglim, to the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael before the nation, before Israel came to occupy the land. He sent 12 spies. Two of them were positive individuals, Kalev and Yoshua, leaving 10 questionable or wicked people. They were punished very severely in the Torah, so we can refer to them as Rishoyim. They amounted to 10. So the Pasuk here said, separate yourself from this evil group, Mitoch, and we know there were 10 in the evil group. And therefore, V'nikdashti Besoch also is a reference to 10 people. Ma lahalon asor, just like by the Meraglim, by the spies, there were 10. Afkan, in the Pasuk of V'nikdashti Besoch in Israel, asor is a reference to 10 people. Hence, only with 10 can you recite the Kedusha according to this approach, and not the private person. Udekule almo mias mifsak lo posik. Everyone agrees, though, that if you are in the middle of your personal Shmona Esrei and the Tzibur is reciting Kedusha, you shall not stop and answer Kedusha. You cannot answer, you cannot interrupt your personal Shmona Esrei for the recitation of Kedusha. Therefore, there was all of this concern whether or not whether you can start your Shmoneh Esrei if it's going to be at the expense of responding to, whether it's going to be at the expense of your reciting the Kedusha. But everyone agrees that you cannot interrupt your personal Shmoneh Esrei to answer the public recitation of the Kedusha. Ibayalo, a question is raised, Mahu lahafsik lihei shmoy hagodol mivorach. Very likely a reference to what we know as Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, that's recited in the Kaddish. Can one interrupt, if he's in the middle of his personal Shmoneh Esrei, can he interrupt for responding Yehei Shmei Rabo? Ki osa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Talmidei Rav Yochanan Amri, They L'kol ein mafsikin chutz min yehei shmoi hagolim v'roch. For everything you cannot interrupt. For anything you cannot interrupt, including kedusha, except for yehei shmoi hagolim v'roch. Shafilu oisek v'maisa merkava. Even if someone is involved with something as holy as maisa merkava, which is a description of the of very heavenly entities that are found in Sefer Yeshaya and Sefer Yecheskel. There are psukim sections that are dealing with Maisa Merkava. So even if you're involved with something of such a holy nature, a lofty nature, posek, you will stop that to answer the communal response of Yehei Shmoi HaGadol Mevorach. However, the less Hilchos HaKavos say, the Gemara itself rejects Rav Dimi's citation allowing for interruption, and rather, no, one cannot interrupt you cannot interrupt your personal Shmona Esrei even for Yehei Shmoi HaGadol Mevorach. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, and also an indication that this is a very long topic. It goes to Chof Beis Amid Beis. The topic is Bal Keri B'Divrei Torah, Takonas Ezra. The truth is that the previous Mishnah that dealt with the Bal Keri Maharer B'Kriya Shema and Birchas HaMazon is really part of this topic. But here the Gemara presents sources. And in our Gemara markings, Shurim, we really didn't dwell on the sources for the problem behind the Baal Keri. Our feeling being that the Gemara itself would deal with this, and hence we didn't give what maybe should have been done, a bit of a more extensive introduction back then. That being said, the Baal Keri is a man, a male, who experiences an emission, a semen emission, and we will refer to this as Zera, he saw Zera or Keri in the future. In addition to his becoming Tomei, it also is symbolic or characteristic of a certain mindset, so that as opposed to all other types of Tum'ah, there's Tumas Zav, there's Mitzora, and in the case of women, there's Nida, there's Zava, all kinds of other Tumas that exist, beyond, of course, the realm of Tumas Mace and Shrotzim, etc. All the other kinds of Tuma do not present themselves as a problem with regard to Torah study. It's only with regard to Keri. And it's not because of the Tuma aspect, but because of the mindset aspect associated with Keri. Keri, for lack of better expression, is somehow associated with a certain level of lightheadedness, levity, something that is anathema to Torah study. Torah study is supposed to be pursued with seriousness and a certain amount of severity, if you will, of awe. These concepts of awe and honor are contradicted, if you will, by the mindset of levity and lightheadedness. Therefore, this preoccupation in the Gemara with a Baal Keri and his prohibition of studying Torah, unless, of course, after experiencing the Keri, so he would be expected, through what we call Takonas Ezra, to immerse himself in a mikveh to counter the Keri for the purposes of Torah study. That having been said, by way of a brief introduction, there is more to say on the topic, but we will continue with the Gemara. The Dibur HaMasu Reb Yehuda Omer Mevorech Lifneim Ulachreim. Tosis points out that according to Reb Yehuda, it seems that there's no hirhur, but you actually say the brachas before and after. So According to Rebbe Yehuda, you would get the impression, as the Gemara asks, that he holds that a Baal Keri is Mutter B'Divrei Torah. And this gives rise to a very long question. You'll notice the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. A very, very long question. We might as well say ahead of time that part of this question is made up of a bracketed section, which is a real side point, so that the heart of the question is actually much shorter than that which appears in the text. And the opening question is it really so that Rebbe Yehuda allows a Baal Keri to study Torah without taking any special measures? In other words, is it so that he doesn't subscribe to everything we said in the introduction? By way of markings, we also will see triangles in our sukkah. So we glance at the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, a triangle is featured. And they represent Kushos Alha de Mashma mi Mishnasein de Rabbi Yehuda Sover de Malkeri Mutter Bedivrei Torah. We're going to be questioning that which our Mishnah implies. Our Mishnah implies that Rabbi Yehuda holds a Malkeri as Mutter in Divrei Torah. We will challenge that here and later in the Gemara toward the end of the page. You'll see a second triangle. We also have numbered them to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a 1 you see over here, and further down on the page, a number 2. Now, the Gemara. L'meimra de kasavar Rabbi Yehuda Baal Keri Mutter B'Divrei Torah. Are we to understand from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda holds a Baal Keri is allowed to pursue Torah study? And when we say allowed, it means allowed without going to the mikveh, that there's no problem of the fact that he's a Baal Keri. In other words, just like a Zav or a Nida or a Metzora are allowed to study Torah, so too the Baal Keri. Is that really so? V'Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Minayin le'Baal Keri shelter b'divrei Torah. From where do we know that a Baal Keri is forbidden in Torah learning? And here we're going to cite Psukim. Just parenthetically, to suggest that we're dealing with an Issur d'oraisa would probably be going a little too far. But many times you find Psukim cited as a basis for rabbinic rulings, and those are referred to as an asmachta. Nevertheless, there is a basis for forbidding the Baal Keri in the study of Torah. As it says, and we have to emphasize, this pasuk is from Sefer Dvorim. Sefer Dvorim is also known as Mishnah Torah. Just try to remember these expressions, particularly Mishnah Torah, as the Gemara goes on. So it says in Sefer Dvorim, which is Mishnah Torah, V'hoidatam levonecha levnei vonecha. That pasuk has to do with Torah study. V'somich le, and it says, Yoim asher omadita, the pasuk goes on to say, regarding the day that you stood at Mount Sinai. Ma lahalon Baal Keri asurin, just like at Mount Sinai, a Baal Keri was forbidden to be present, to be participate in Kabbalah Satorah. And as we mentioned in our previous year, by Baal Keris, where people were separated from their wives 3 days before Matan Torah, so as to ensure that they wouldn't be Baal Keri. So just like by Sinai, a Baal Keri was Asur, Afkan Baal Keri and Asurin. So too with regard to the study of Torah, Baal Keri and Asurin. Once again, how do we know that? Because there is what's called smichus, and we dashed underline the expression of the somichle. There's smichus between the pasuk dealing with Torah study and the original Kabbalah Satorah. If the original Kabbalah Satorah, Baal Keri were Asur, so too for general Torah study. The Chitema, you might try to argue, Rabbi Yehuda loy dorish smuchin, the Rabbi Yehuda does not place emphasis on proximity of psukim, so that one thing has nothing to do with the other. In other words, it's true that by Sinai, Baal Keri was Asur, but for the generational obligation of learning Torah, Baal Keri would be mutter. Well, you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda denies smuchin, proximity of psukim. The ha'amar of Yosef, afilu man the lo dorish smuchin b'chol ha'Torah, even someone who doesn't accept smuchin as an authoritative way of concluding legal decisions, the Mishnah Torah dorish. Mishnah Torah is sefer dvorim. Tahar Rabbi Yehuda lo dorish smuchin b'chol haTorah kula u'b'mishnah Torah dorish our Rabbi Yehuda. He is the man we're focusing on right now. He, in fact, does not accept smuchin in the rest of the Torah, but the four of the five books of the Torah. However, in Mishnah Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, he does accept smuchin as a means of coming to conclusions. At this point, you see a bracketed section, and the length of the brackets is indicated by the length, bracket length marker to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, the dashed, dotted, vertical line. If you follow that line down till its end, you will notice that the brackets ends, and in effect, as we said before, the question has been asked. The end of the question, for the heart of the question, is right here before the brackets. Rabbi Yehuda does darshan smuchin, and if he does darshan smuchin, so a baal keri should be forbidden in Divrei Torah. So let's skip the bracketed section for a moment. The Gemara says, Amri in b'mishnah Torah darsh. It is true that Rabbi Yehuda darshan smuchin in Mishnah Torah. However, Rabbi Yehuda still holds that Baal Keri is mutter in Divrei Torah. Well, what about the smuchin that we mentioned before? V'hani smuchin, he darshans the smuchin, he pays attention to the smuchin, but for another ruling of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and for another drush, another expression of Rabbi Shimon Levi, but not the one above. And the Gemara goes on to tell you what that other expression of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi is, that for which Rabbi Yehuda gives credence to the smuchin in Mishnah Torah. Now we have to engage in what we would call either background information or a side point, or both. It was just mentioned that in the rest of the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda does not darshan smuchin. So where do we see that? So in the bracketed section, notice the markings. We have an aleph with a squiggle line. It says u'b'chol haTorah kula. The Gemara will ask minolan de lo dorish. When you say in the rest of the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin. The rest of the Torah includes, for example, sefer Shmois. So he denies smuchin as a means of concluding things. And yet in Mishnah Torah, and notice on the third of the wider lines, in the middle, you see a squiggle line and a base. With the Mishnah Torah, the Gemara says, Minolan de Darsh, where in Mishnah Torah do we see that Rabbi Yehuda does acknowledge smuchin. And if in Mishnah Torah he acknowledges smuchin in some other topic, he will be expected to acknowledge smuchin in with regard to the pasuk we cited before in Dvarim Perek Dalet Vodatan Levonecha, and its smichus to Yom Asher Amadata, the pasuk regarding Mount Sinai. That having been said, we can now get into the Gemara. Uvechol haTorah kula minolan delo dorish. We're starting with the bracketed section now. Where in the rest of the Torah, for example, say for Shmois, do we see that Rabbi Yehuda denies smuchin? Tesanya, a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source features a Tanakama, perhaps a Ben Azai, and later Rebbe Yehuda, regarding the punishment for someone involved with Kishuf. Kishuf, for lack of better expression, will translate it as witchcraft. Black magic, witchcraft, in that area of concern. From where do we know that a mechashef is punishable, in fact, by stoning? Very, very serious offense. It's punishable by stoning, which just so happens to be the same type of punishment for Shabbos violations and for different acts of incest, just to give a feeling of how serious this offense is. So we will see shortly that Ben Azai discovers the mechashef receives skila through, how does he discover it? Through smichus, through smuchin. Rabbi Yehuda will chime in and say, well, is smuchin the reason for giving someone this serious penalty? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning or dealing with smuchin in an offhanded way. In other words, I'm not going to give the guy skila just because there's smichus and psukim. I will give the guy skila. I'll give him a chashev skila for some other reason, but not because of smuchin. We see here that Rabbi Yehuda denies smuchin in Sha'ar HaTorah, in the other books, and we're talking about Sefer Shmois. So now the source. Says that the mechashefa shall not be allowed to continue living. V'nemar, Kol shochev im behema mois yumos. One who engages in bestiality shall be put to death. And we know that mos yumos in the context of bestiality is a reference to stoning. Samhu inyan loy. The two topics were placed in proximity of one another. Loimar, ma shochev behema biskila, just like shochev with a behema, bestiality is punishable by skila, and that is learned from a gezera shava that you find featured in Maseches Sanhedrin that Rashi quotes above. But we don't have to get into that right now, other than to accept that we know there's a given that shochev and behema is skila, is punishable by skila, by stoning. So too the mechashef is going to get stoned because of the smichus. Af mechashef anami beskila. Omar le Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda responds to Ben Azai and says, v'chim ibnei shesomchu inyan lo. And notice how he dashed underline v'chim ibnei shesomchu, showing you that Rabbi Huda denies smuchen. He says, just because the shochev in behema, which is punished by skila, is next to mechashef, also there's going to be skila. Noitzi lozeh l'skish, we take him out to be stoned. Ela, what is the source for stoning by the mechashef? It's as follows. Oiv v'yid oini b'chlal kol mechashven hoyu. There's a separate pasuk in the Torah regarding oiv and yidoni. These are two forms of sorcery, of black magic. They're specific examples. They are subcategories of mechashef, of kishuf. Why, after telling us mechashefa lo sechayeh, does the Torah specify oiv and yidoni? And it should be pointed out that by oiv and yidoni, we know that they are punishable by stoning. Oiv and yidoni have to do with different forms of communication with the dead, but for more details on that, one would have to learn Maseches Sanhedrin. So why does the Torah feature oiv and yidoni? So let's read this again. Ela oiv v'yidoni b'chlal kol mechashven hoyu. Oiv and yidoni were part, was a, really just a subcategory of all kishuf. V'lomo yotzu, why are they featured or specified? Answer, lahakish lohen v'loy maloch. To compare other mechashvim to them. Ma oiv v'yidoni b'skila, just like they receive skila, and that is, there are sources for that. In other words, once again, we're not going to get into the background that Rashi deals with, but just like oiv and yidoni is a given that they get skila, af mechashefa b'skila, so too all other mechashvim will receive skila. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the basis of skila for mechashvim is not learned through smuchin. Uva Mishnah Torah Minolon D'Dorsh. We said before that in raising the question, it was important for us to say that in when it comes to Mishnah Torah, it comes to Sefer Dvarim, Rebbe Yehuda himself does acknowledge smuchin. And from where do we see that? Desanya. Rebbe Elazar Omer, no se adam anusas aviv umufutas aviv anusas beno umufutas beno. This is in the realm of arayas, if you will, incestuous relations. So, what is the law regarding a woman that happened to be raped by one's father or raped by one's son? Can you marry her? So Rabbi Eliezer says yes. Rabbi Eliezer says yes. Rabbi Yehuda oser vanusas aviv uve mefutas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman who was raped by someone's father, or mefutas is seduced by someone's father, so the son cannot marry her. The Amar of Yudal Amarav, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this restriction? Dichtiv, it says in Sefer Dvorim, Perek Chav Gimel, and we emphasize again, it says in Sefer Dvorim, which is Mishnah Torah, it says, lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv. These are two separate phrases. One is forbidden to marry one's father's wife, a woman that was married to one's father, and it also said v'lo yigale knaf aviv. Knaf shero'o aviv lo yigale. Knaf literally is the corner of a garment, but it's actually quite a vague phrase, and that's what we have to go on in the Gemara to reveal its true meaning. So, Knaf Shiro Aviv Lo Yigaleh, a son cannot marry the Knaf Shiro Aviv either. Well, Umimai de Benarusis Aviv Ksiv, how do you know that that when the Pasuk says Velo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv, that is a reference to a woman raped by one's father? Answer, the samichle. Notice we dashed underline because this is the heart of the point. The samichle v'nosam isha shochi v'imav v'chule. The Torah goes on to describe laws regarding rape. So since lo yigale knaf oviv is in proximity of psukim that deal with the laws of rape, I understand that lo yigale knaf oviv is a woman that was raped by one's father. This is the end of the long question. So to go over, what do we see here? We see that on the one hand, the Mishnah indicates the Rebuta says that a Balkari is mutar b'divrei Torah. On the other hand, through smichus of psukim in Sefer Dvorim, we see that a Balkari is osur b'divrei Torah. And Rebuta acknowledges smuchim when it comes to Mishnah Torah. The Gemara says, Amri in the Mishnah Torah Dorsh, it's true that Rebuta acknowledges smuchim in Mishnah Torah. The Hani smuchim, the smuchim that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was cited as saying that a Balkari is also in the very Torah, those psukim of Voidatim Levonecho and Yoim Asher Amadato v'chule, Miboya Lehi, Rabbi Yehuda needs that, Le'idach to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, for another teaching of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and not for a prohibition for Balkari in the very Torah. What's the other teaching? The Yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Cholamalame Livnoi Torah, one who teaches his own son Torah, Malava Kosov Kilu Kiblo Mehar Chorev. It's considered as if he accepted, received Torah from Mount Sinai. Har Chorev is Mount Sinai. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vodatun Livanecho Vnei Vonecho, that has to do with your teaching of Torah to your children. Uksiv Basre, Yoim Asher Amadufnei Hashem Alechecho B'chorev. The day that you stood in front of the Almighty at Mount Chorev, Mount Sinai. So Rabbi Yehuda, on the one hand, accepts smuchin in Mishneh Torah, but he uses it for a different teaching, and not for the ban of Balkari from Divrei Torah. Well, the Gemara is relentless. Tanan, we ask again. This source is a brief source. It features three Tuma situations. And this source is taught in the context of what we mentioned before, Tevilas Ezra, the need for a Balkari to immerse himself in a mikveh by virtue of the ruling of Ezra. Ezra, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash era. This source is, as we said, taught in that context, and it says, and we should also note that Rebuta is featured in this source at the end. Case 1, Zav Shiro Keri. This is a person that was already Tomei, and we have to say once again that the concept of someone simply being Tomei does not run anathema to the study of Torah. It's no problem if someone happens to be Tomei for whatever reason, he can learn Torah. The one exception being Baal Keri. So here we have a person that was a Zav. He was already Tomei through Ziva, which is a different type of male emission, that when he was a Zav, after he became a Zav, he experienced a Keri emission. Vinida Shepota Shechazera. This is a woman who had become Tomei as a Nida, and in the course of her Nida period, she had a semen release. After she apparently had relations earlier, but after the relations, she became a Nida, and then Zera came out of her. That has an effect on the woman. And number three, Hamishameshes Verasa Dam, a woman that was experiencing intimacy and then had a blood flow. Tzrichin Tevila. In order for them to be allowed to study Torah, we should mention that a mishameshes is a woman who is having intimacy, as we said. She becomes Tamea at that point as a tumah as a result of the keri, of the her contact with the keri. So she is mishameshes and then sees a blood flow. It says here, Tzrif and Tfila, all of these people would need to immerse themselves in a mikveh to allow them to study Torah. Rebuda exempts. Ad kan lo poter Rebuda elo bezav shiro keri. Rebuda's exemption is a reference to these cases because the immersing in the mikveh won't metaher them. These people are tomei anyway. The meikoro lav bar tvilahu. The zav that happened to be that saw keri, he was tomei anyway for 7 days. So the immersion in the mikveh isn't going to metaher him. It's not going to have any significance. So Rabbi Yehuda's exemption is in a case like that. Avo bal keri greida mechayev, but someone who was not tomei, that the only tuma that he experienced was keri, that we infer from here, Rabbi Yehuda would say he does go to the mikveh. So we see that from here that Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that a bal keri is usser in Torah until he goes to the mikveh. It's only because in this particular case these people were already tomei. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says there's no need for the mikveh. It's not going to metayer them. However, someone that wasn't tomei, that only had keri, Rabbi Yehuda would say he does go to the mikveh. And so we see from this that his need for going to the mikveh is to allow him to study Torah. V'chiteimu adin dafilu bal keri great onami potter, Rabbi Yehuda. You might say that, listen, Rabbi Yehuda exempts the need for mikveh across the boards, even a simple bal keri, that's greater, simple or only bal keri. V'hai dekol miflegi bezav shiro keri, and that Rabbi Yehuda appears arguing in this source, which featured the zav that saw keri, that is lehodiacha koichan derabbanan, to show us how far the rabbanan go in saying that there is a need for mikveh, even in a case where it's not going to metayer the person because he was already a zav. And that's why these cases were cited, simply to show us how far the rabbanan go in requiring mikveh, even in the extreme where the mikveh isn't going to metayer him from his tumah. Well, eimo seifa. Let's take a look at case 3. Let's look at this closely. Hamishameshes veroas adam tzrichot vila. A woman who had first the intimacy, which imposed a keri tuma, and then she had a nida experience. It says regarding her tzrichot vila, if she is going to engage in Torah study, she needs to go to the mikveh. Leman kotoni la. Why is case 3 featured? If it's to show us how far the Rabbonon go in their requirements, pshita, it's obvious that she would need to go to the mikveh. Hashtu ma zav shiro keri. Mind you, in the case of zav that sees a subsequent keri sighting, he starts off as having no association for tvila because it won't help him at all. He starts off as a zav. A zav is a 7-day tuma experience. So that at the time he saw keri, he was already disjointed or removed from the realm of tvila. And yet, mechayvi rabbanan, the rabbanan still say that, listen, for Torah learning, this guy has got to go to the mikveh, even though the mikveh is not going to help him regarding his tumah status. So, mind you, someone like that, which is far removed from an effective tevila tahara process, the rabbanan still say, go to the mikveh for the sake of Torah. The woman who was engaged in intimacy, where she starts off, her initial status is someone that we call a bal keri status. For her, the mikveh would have value because bal keri is at longest it's a 1-day tumah. So she starts off as someone that has an association with tevila. True, she later saw dam, which would make her tamei for 7 days. So, lo kol shekein, certainly the Rabbanan would require her to go to the mikveh. So why was case 3 taught? Elolav Rabbi Yehuda hi. It was taught for the sake of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's to bring out his opinion. V'davka katoni law. And it's only this case that Rabbi Yehuda would say, it's only this case that is of significance with regard to a Rabbi Yehuda exemption. Mishamesh is at the top of Chof Beis Omer Aleph. Mishamesh is Ruach Sodam, Eino Tzricho Tvila. She would not require Tvila because at the point she would be going to the mikveh, she's now become a Nida. So that's not a Tvila that would mitire her. Avo Baal Keri Greda, but a simple Baal Keri, Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda would say, go to the mikveh, because in addition to any Torah considerations, it's a mikveh immersion that will be of significance from the Tumah aspect of things, because Baal Keri, as we mentioned, was a one-day Tumah, for which the mikveh immersion now will be effective. So, what are we, in effect, showing you? That a Baal Keri Greda, Rabbi Yehuda, would not exempt from mikveh. He would say he's chayev. What does that show you? It shows you that Rabbi Yehuda as well holds that there is a prohibition for a simple Baal Keri from Divrei Torah without going to mikveh. Well, then, what about the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, it said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevorech Lifnei Machrim, that the Baal Keri recites, and as we pointed out based on the Tosfos, the word Mevorech, as far as in the context of Rabbi Yehuda, meant he shall recite the brachas before and after. The Gemara answers, Lo Temo Mevorech, don't say Mevorech, which was Mashma, as we pointed out, the word Mevorech was meant articulates the bracha. Don't say that in the Mishnah, don't use that as the text. Elo meharher, but rather use the expression meharher, which would show that Rabbi Yehuda is sensitive to the Baal Keri problem, and that a Baal Keri is in effect forbidden from Divrei Torah. And but through here or there we can compromise. The Gemara asks here a question. It's a long question. Would Rabbi Yehuda himself accept Hirhur as a solution? Umi islay Rabbi Yehuda Hirhur. Does Rabbi Yehuda accept that as a solution? The Hatanya, we have the following source, and we will show you that Rabbi Yehuda appears at the end of the source. We underlined his name, and at the very end of this Tanaic source, you can see we dashed underlined Motzi Bisvasov. So the source says, Baal Keri she'ein lo mayim litboil. A Baal Keri who doesn't have water in which to immerse himself. Kori Kriyashma. He says the Kriyashma. The eino mevorech lo lefanev lo achreha. He shall not recite the Brichas Kriyashma, not before nor after. V'yoychil pito umevorech laachreha. The eino mevorech lefanev. Avo mahar belivo. He eats his meal and makes a bracha after and not before, but he's mahara belibo v'eino motzi b'svasov divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer benkach ubenkach motzi b'svasov. Under all circumstances, he shall recite it verbally. Well, so we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda does not acknowledge hirhur as a solution. The question then is, how can you say before in having discovered that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned with the Baal Keri studying Torah, how can you say over here that he is motzi v'svasav? Omar Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Asa'on Rabbi Yehuda kihilchus derech eretz. Birchas Hamazon in this source, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the reason he has this leniency is because he views Birchas Hamazon as part of Hilchus Derech Eretz, were considered like Hilchus Derech Eretz. Hilchus Derech Eretz has a unique status with regard to this realm of Baal Keri, in that Hilchus Derech Eretz is something he is allowed to articulate. So that, basically speaking, Rabbi Yehuda assers a Baal Keri B'divrei Torah. And if you'll ask, what about the Birchas HaMazon that Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says, Moisi Bisvasav. So Rabbi Yehuda looks at Birchas HaMazon as Hilchus Derech Eretz, that is something a Balkeri is allowed to study and verbalize. Desanya. Here is a source in which there will be numerous Tanaic opinions, and it will touch on the issue of Hilchus Derech Eretz. V'hoidatam levonecho levnei vonecho uksiv basrei, and it says afterwards, and this we've seen before, it says Yoyim asher amadol fin Hashem elokecho b'chorev. Ma'al ha'alon, just like there at Chorev, at the giving of the Torah, it was done with great fear and trepidation. Be'emo, ubi'yira, uvareses, ubi'zeya, all of these are expressions indicating fear and sweat. Af kan, so to limu Torah in general, be'emo, ubi'yira, uvareses, ubi'zeya, shall be done with the same frame of mind. Mikan, omru, based on this, the following has been said. Hazovim, v'amitzoroim, uboyen al nidois. These are different types of tomei individuals. Mutorin likros b'torbinavim uksuvim. They can engage in Torah study of the written Torah, lishnois b'mishnah v'gemara b'halochus v'agados, and to pursue different aspects of the oral tradition. Avol ba'ale kerion, which we dashed on the line for obvious reasons. Avol ba'ale kerion asurim. They are forbidden in the study of Torah. Now, some more opinions on this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shoine Hu Berigilios, a Balkeri is allowed to pursue study. When we say a Balkeri, of course, we're talking about Balkeri without having gone to mikveh. He can study Berigilios. That's Rashi explains. B'mishnayas hashkuz b'fiv, shu moitzion mipiv, b'merutza v'ein tzorach laharich b'an. These are mishnayas that a person knows very, very fluently, and he can rattle them off without delaying, without pausing and pondering their meaning. Ubilvad shelo yatsia es haMishnah. Provided he doesn't get involved with the explanations behind the Mishnah. That's Rashi's pshat. The Girs on the side features the Oruch that says that yatsia is not to teach it to others. Continuing in the source, Rabbi Yonis and Yosef Omer, Matzia hu es haMishnah, v'eino Matzia es haGemara. According to Rashi, it would mean he can explain the reasons of the Mishnayos, but not the reasons of the Gemara. Now, there's another Gusa that Rashi proposes here, is v'eino Matzia es haMedrash. Rabbi Noson ben Avishalom Omer, af Matzia es haGemara, ubovat shelo yoimar azkoros shebo. According to him, the Balkeri would be allowed to explain reasons of the Gemara. The only restriction being he shouldn't mention Askoros, or the names of the Almighty that are found in Psukim that are explained in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Tamidut Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Lo Yikones LeMedrash Kol Iker, V'Ami Lo Lo Yikones LeBeis HaMedrash Kol Iker. Two versions as to what Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is saying. One is that he shouldn't get involved with Medrash at all, because the Medrash is a work that darshins Psukim. It features a preoccupation with Psukim, and his opinion is that the restriction of a Balkeri is a restriction from Psukim, from verses. The other version of what Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, he shouldn't enter a study hall whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shoina hu behilchus derech eretz. He is allowed to study, to verbalize halachas hilchus derech eretz. Rashi tells us that hilchus derech eretz is a brisa, which we know more commonly as maseches derech eretz. The source continues, Maise b'Rabbi Yehuda shiro keri. There was an incident where he experienced keri v'oyo mahalich al gav anor, and he was walking by the river. Omru lo tamidim rabbeinu, they said to him, "Oh master, shana lanu perek echa b'hilchos derech eretz, teach us something from that source of study." Yorad v'toval v'shanalem, he went and immersed himself in the river and then taught them. Omru lo, the students looked at him in wonderment and said, "Lo kachli ma'atar rabbeinu, did you not teach us Shoinuhu Hilchos Derech Eretz, that a Balkeri without immersing is allowed to teach Hilchos Derech Eretz? So why did you go out of your way to immerse yourself before teaching us this work?" Amar Lohem. So he answered, Afalpi shemekel ani ala achirim, even though I am lenient with regard to others, and in fact allow them to study, allow a balkeri to study Hilchos Derech Eretz without immersion, machmir ani al atzmi, I impose upon myself this stringency. So, as we look over this sugya, which spent time analyzing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to balkeri and divrei Torah, we come out with the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda forbids a balkeri from divrei Torah unless he immerses himself. The area of exception would be that Rabbi Yehuda allows a balkeri to recite the Birchas Hamazon, to actually verbalize it, being that he classifies it as Hilchos Derech Eretz. We might make a parenthetical or a some type of explanatory note based on my own opinion. I don't have a source for this, but my feeling is that Hilchos Derech Eretz is a work that describes how a person should conduct himself, especially in the realm of seriousness and proper conduct, which is something that is the antithesis of levity, and hence a balkeri who is characterized as someone of a lightheaded nature, needs to study this as an antidote to that state of mind. That's why there is an exception made for Hilchos Derech Eretz. This would be the antidote for his less than acceptable state of mind. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.